From Colorado Public Radio, I'm Ryan Warner, and this is Colorado Matters. Here's a little-known fact about where we live. Colorado produces more millet than any other state. Just what is millet?
Actually, it's one of the ancient grains. It's been used for over 4,000 years around the world. What we're seeing in the United States is used as a flavor supplement in regular breads, and now a growing sector is the gluten-free area because millet is a naturally gluten-free grain.
That's Tim Larson there from the State Department of Agriculture, and he's made promoting millet his pet project. You see, there's no real millet association here, even though Colorado produces just over half the nation's crop. And there's no clever millet slogan, you know, the equivalent of pork, the other white meat, or beef, it's what's for dinner. Maybe that's why it's best known as an ingredient in birdseed, something Larson is working to change with help from a federal grant.
Millet has interesting uses, and you start with it's grown both conventionally and organically. It's also a very tasty product, more nutritious than other grains, so it can be used as a substitute for brown rice, which we don't grow in Colorado, quinoa, and other grains.
And so for folks who might be focused on buying local, this would be a grain for them.
Absolutely. Anybody that's using rice, brown rice, or other grains like that, it's a perfect alternative. If you're concerned about carbon footprints, you're going to find no grain out there with a smaller carbon footprint. No irrigation needed, no transportation relative to other grains that you might be eating required.
No irrigation needed. So it's a dry land crop.
Exactly.
Okay, Tim, you've brought in bags of millet for us.
That's correct.
It's beautiful. It's like the tiniest yellow bead.
Yes.
Almost perfectly round.
Yes, perfectly round. The millet we brought in is de-hulled millet.
De-hulled.
As it comes out of the field, it has a fine little husk around it. So before you can eat it for human consumption, it has to be processed in what we call a de-hulling process.
If I want to find millet, where do I find it in the grocery store? And what forms does it come in?
Right now, you can find millet mainly in the specialty and the natural and organic type of retail stores. We don't have a big enough market yet to justify stocking it at a King Soopers, Safeway kind of retail chain. So you have to go some of the second tier retail groups
okay. That
address that. It's available, as I brought in here today, as de-hulled millet ready to cook. You can buy it as a flour. You can make that for gluten-free products, and you can use it just to, if you want an interesting, more of a European flavor to your bread. A lot of the European breads that everybody always raves about when they come back from Europe, part of that is because it has a certain amount of millet flour in it. You'll also find it puffed as a cereal.
I think that's how I've eaten it, puffed in a bag.
It almost
looks like puffed wheat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A little smaller grain, but certainly that's another alternative.
If you didn't do anything to millet, except cooked it and then ate it unsalted, what would the flavor be?
I would say it tastes a little nuttier and a little more flavorful than brown rice.
Okay.
It has a better nutritional profile than brown rice. Another thing we like to point out to everybody when you're looking at using millet is it actually cooks about one-third the time that it takes to cook brown rice.
But and fine, actually, fine on its own as a starch?
Absolutely. You've got some people that will just cook it up, and then that will be a breakfast cereal.
You've got some recipes actually on the Department of Agriculture website.
Exactly. Using it anywhere from an hors d'oeuvre to a main entree to a chili to a curry on into desserts and trail mix, granola type of products.
If there's not much of a human market these days for millet, you know, this is still a kind of undiscovered grain here. Why do people grow it?
First of all, I think one of the reasons it's grown is if, from the farmer standpoint, if the winter is very rough and your wheat crop does not come up,
okay,
then you can still go into that field in the spring, plant millet, and get a harvest. So it's been a safety net crop for many years. Also, millet has other uses. It's used widely in birdseed, probably one of the biggest uses, animal feed.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and let's see if you can hear this. Can you hear that? It's subtle, but I'm rubbing grains of millet together in my hand. Uncooked, de-hulled millet. And our guest is Tim Larson. He's with the Colorado Department of Agriculture, and he's seen this as kind of an orphan grain, you know, like a grain without much of an identity. and he's working to make it a more popular, more used in the state. It seems that abroad, people have caught on to millet for human consumption more than they have here. So you've mentioned breads.
Yes.
What are some other uses globally for millet?
Well, globally, you go back to the historical basis. Millet does not have protein, so it doesn't get the rising that many breads do. So that makes it a natural product for flatbreads. So the roti and some of the naans.
Huh.
We found another interesting opportunity for millet that we're working on right now. In discussions with some European buyers for gluten-free products last year, we found out that the number one selling gluten-free beer in Germany is made from 100% malted millet.
Millet beer.
So we are now a new little project we have going. We're working with a small malting house in Colorado to see if we can get some millet malted and make it available through our microbreweries and see if that is going to be another market for millet. Stay tuned. We might have to do some taste testing if you want to help me with that.
We'll look forward to that. On the beer front, are there breweries you've talked to?
Yes, we reached out to our craft brewery industry here in Colorado. So we have people like Odell's, Mountain Sun, Wincoop that are interested are all saying, yes, get me some millet. I'd love to experiment with it.
What about millet? I mean, this is not your normal job at the Department of Agriculture. I mean, normally you work on foreign markets, foreign buyers for Colorado products.
Exactly.
You kind of took this as a pet project.
Well, I took it as a pet project partially because we found that 50% of all the millet exported from the United States comes out of Colorado. So it fit naturally in my export international trade development responsibility. And as we started to develop it and look around for some federal grants, we found that the industry needed help both in the export development area and the domestic. So we opted to combine that in a single focus.
And the idea is that there's not a millet association in Colorado. There's no real... Is there a millet advocate?
Well, we hope there's going to be. That's one of the purposes of this grant is to help demonstrate to the industry there's value in working together.
You got federal money.
We've got some federal seed money. It's not a lot of money, but it's been able to bring the industry together. And now they're talking about forming a millet association.
Why do you think more people don't know about millet?
Well, I think bottom line, it's a responsibility of the farmers and producers to promote their product, and they haven't done that in the past. That's why we've launched this initiative. Just as, pork, the other white meat, beef, it's what's for dinner. I think the industry has done a beautiful job of creating images that encourage U.S. consumption, and nobody's taken that initiative with millet up till this time.
If you were going to come up with a slogan for millet, Tim Larson, what would you say?
We think it's the Colorado High Plains rice.
The Colorado High Plains rice.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Certainly.
Tim Larson is with the Colorado Department of Agriculture, and he's on a mission to raise the profile of millet. You can find millet recipes on the department's website. Many of them come from students at Colorado State University who were in a class to develop new food products, and millet was one of their assignments. CSU graduate student Twyla Henley was in that class.
My millet recipe was a fruit and nut granola.
And how did it turn out?
It turned out very well. It took me a while to get the oven temperature and the time right, but it had a really great crispy texture that the millet provided, which is a little bit different than your average granola.
Did this open your eyes? Do you think you'll use millet in other recipes?
Oh, yeah. I've definitely incorporated millet in my cooking and baking, and also I really see its use in restaurants because right now they'll use rice or quinoa, which aren't local. I definitely see its application for restaurant purposes and in home for home use. It's very easy. It's relatively inexpensive, and it can be used for breakfast cereals and all the way to desserts.
Desserts?
Yeah, in the class we produced, like similar to a rice pudding, but we used millet. We also made a fruit crisp with millet flour.
That sounds delicious. And Twyla, thanks so much for talking with us.
You're very welcome, Ryan. Thank you.
Twyla Henley is studying food science and safety at Colorado State University. Now, if you cook with millet, the State Department of Agriculture wants to hear from you. They're looking for recipes, and they'll even publish yours at their website. Find an email address where you can send your recipe at our website, cpr.org.